Our devotion tonight will be based on John chapter 18. It should be printed on the top of your bulletin, page 10. I'll read it for you. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then," Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Dear brothers and sisters who are in Christ Jesus our Lord, the truth is the easiest story to tell. Those are the words that my dad would share to me every time he knew that I was lying. The truth is the easiest story to tell. Those were the words that he would share to me in response to my mutterings and my fumblings as I was making up stories to try and justify what I had done or what my siblings had done to try and explain away my wickedness. And my dad would pause me as I was making up these fabrications of the truth, and he would say, "Jordan, Jordan, Jordan, take a deep breath. Remember, the easiest story to tell is the truth. You don't have to make up stories and then remember what stories you had told. Just tell the truth." What is truth? Arguably one of the deepest questions that we could ask, a question that we ponder and is important to us from the moment that we are born until the moment that we pass. The truth is a ever important aspect of all of our lives. Don't believe me? Think back to the time when you were a child. For some of you, it's happening right now. Think back to that time when you got caught in the kitchen, when the chocolate chip cookies were all smothered over your face, and mom or dad walked in and said, that rhetorical question, "Did you eat the cookies that I told you specifically not to eat before dinner?" And with your mouths full like a chipmunk, you responded, "No, of course not, mom. No, of course not, dad." And what did they say? Just tell the truth. The truth is an important aspect of our lives, right? If you want to have a deep relationship with anybody, whether it be your spouse or a friend or a family member or someone you know, the truth is a very important aspect of that. Honesty is a pillar that you would have to build that relationship on. If you want to get a job, one of the expectations, even one of the demands that occupier will have is, they will say that they want someone who is trustworthy and true in their dealings, in representing the company and representing themselves inside of that company. The truth is an important aspect that philosophers and intellectuals have dealt with and grasped and wrestled. What is truth, right? Pages and books have been written about that, trying to answer that question. Philosophers have sucked the energy, every ounce of it, out of that question. Intellectuals have written books and essays and long discourses trying to answer that in wisdom. Therefore, it should not be a surprise to us that important question is at play in our conversation today. The conversation between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. Now, Pilate, of course, was not a foreigner to insurrections or riots or rebellions, so I'm sure this wasn't a surprise to him as the Passover came about. He had heard about Jesus, probably heard about the miracles that he was performing, heard about his ministry. It'd be arguable that there's no way he could have not heard about this Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey as the crowds and the masses cry out, "Hail, Hosanna, save us, Son of David." We can imagine the stress building up for Pilate as he is thinking to himself, these thousands of Jewish people coming to Jerusalem to celebrate what? The Passover, which is a celebration of what? God freeing his people from a foreign ruler. We can imagine this foreign ruler of the Jews is wondering what this Jesus is all about. So he asks him, so they have this conversation. Friday morning, the Jewish leaders bring in Jesus into Pontius Pilate's palace, and we, as if we are flies on the wall, get to hear that conversation. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" If Pilate was told that he was only given one question that day, I'm sure that would have been it. Because we know, we can read between the lines, we know what Pilate is getting at with this question. Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? What he's really asking with that question is, Jesus, are you a threat to me? What are you here for? Are you here to take my throne, to take my palace, to take my position of power? What are you all about? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked? Or did others talk to you about me? Jesus says, you brought up the topic of me being the king of the Jews. Now let's not talk about what others are saying about me. Let's have this conversation, you and me, one-on-one. Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Almost as if Pilate is trying to take over the conversation again here, saying to Jesus, hey, look, I'm the one that asks the questions. You're the one that answers. You're under arrest, not me. It's as if he's taking the hot potato of the topic and throwing it back on Jesus. Jesus has had enough with small talk. He wants to get down to brass tacks. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Let me paraphrase for Jesus here. He looks right at Pilate and he says, Pilate, if I wanted your position, if I wanted your throne, I'd have already had it by now. But that's not the purpose for which I came. That's not why Jesus came to this world. There are a lot of people that have a lot of different answers to that question. Why did Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, take on human flesh, leave the right hand of the Father in heaven, and come down to this earth? There's a wide range of answers out there, but there's really only one true answer to it, isn't there? Many people you know will answer that question in a different way. Why did Jesus come to this world? Well, he came to be a good person and do good things. He came to set an example of selfless love. He came to clothe those who were needy. He came to stick up for the downtrodden. He came to feed those who were hungry. He came to heal the sick, to provide, to work miracles, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Those are all bits and pieces of the answer. But you know what the answer is. Jesus gives us the answer today. Why did Jesus Christ come to this world? Not because he's a king, but because he's the king. Because he is the Christ. Because he is the Father's answer to sin itself, going all the way back to the garden. Remember the hope that God spoke into that hopeless situation as Adam and Eve rebelled against God and chose evil and wickedness over him. Remember what his response was. Genesis 3:15. I will send my own son. I will send a seed, an offspring of Eve, who will have his heel be bit by the snake. But he will crush his head, and he will undo the devil's work. It's what he talked about with Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a temporary kingdom like you have. It's an eternal and an everlasting kingdom. To the best of our knowledge, that was the end of the conversation. Whether he was befuddled or whether he didn't know what to say, Pilate says to him, and what is truth? And he goes out and has conversations, and it seems to be the end. We don't know. But I wonder if Jesus had an opportunity that day to answer that question. Pilate, what is truth? Better yet, who is truth? It's ironic enough, he's seated right in front of you. I am truth itself in the flesh. There is no other. We talk a lot during the season of Lent, and rightfully so, don't get me wrong. We spend so much time talking about the physical suffering that Jesus Christ endured for our salvation. And we have to, don't get me wrong. But I wonder if we spend enough time thinking about the emotional suffering that Jesus endured on our behalf. Think about Jesus' heart. Why did he come? Because his heart burst at the seams for you and me, and he couldn't stand the thought of losing us. That compassionate heart for lost sinners, of our good shepherd, is the same for you as it was for Pilate, and as it was for the Jewish people that put him to death, that had him falsely arrested, imprisoned, and crucified. Jesus Christ came for you, but he came for Pilate too. He came for the sins of all people everywhere. He wanted Pilate to know the truth because he wants all people to come to know the truth. He wanted those groups to know that he had something so much more to offer than just a bunch of fish and a bunch of bread to fill their bellies for lunch. He wanted that woman at the well to know that he offered so much more than just water for her to drink. He was the stream of living water, the good news of the gospel that does not ever run dry. Jesus Christ came to this world to save not some, but all. Jesus Christ came to this world because his will is the desire for all people to come to know the truth itself. You have that compassionate heart of your Savior that wants people to know the truth and not lies. A couple of examples to think about. Your child would love to eat ice cream all day. And fruit snacks, and candy, and chocolate bars. But the truth is that that is not good for them. So parents have to share with them the reality that these things are not for your good. They're not for your blessing. That is a cold, hard lie. Or maybe you have a friend that you need to share the truth with. That they're drinking buddies that are taking them out to the bar and feeding them bottles and beers all night long are not actually their buddy or friend. And the people that are enabling them to do drugs or to go down that deep, dark path that might be fun and might be enjoyable, but is anything but God-pleasing, their life of love is actually a life of lies. Or for all of us, we have friends and family and dearly loved people that try to react to the things of this world and the struggles that they are going through by self-diagnosis, by answering those things with other joys and other things of this world rather than the truth itself, which is found in Jesus Christ our Savior. And your heart hurts for them because they're buying into lies and you want them to know the truth. Multiply that heart by a million, and that is the heart of our Savior that wants all people to know the truth, to depart from the lies that the devil feeds us, and to buy into what he is offering for free. Because, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why he came, to be the truth that never changes. And that's difficult for us to understand. That's difficult for us to wrestle with, because we live in a truthless time. The reality is that truths exist out there, that we live in a confusing time where what might be true one day most certainly isn't tomorrow. I mean, think about it. We were once told that diet soda was healthy, but now we're told that there might be more harmful chemicals in diet soda than the regular stuff. You can go to two dietitians that can tell you very different things that are founded and funded in science. One can tell you that you should lay off of the butter. The other one will tell you that you can have it by the spoonful. You can read essays that two of them are based in fact, and they completely and entirely disagree with one another. We live in confusing times, and we're left asking ourselves, is there any truth out there whatsoever? The more newspaper articles I read, the more news that I watch, the more magazines I open up, the more confused I am. We're left asking ourselves, is there any truth at all? But then we find our verses for tonight. And we're reminded as we open up the scriptures, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that when it comes to this life and the next, there is one universal truth. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ did not deserve to die, but he did. Here's the truth. You and I deserve to die. Not just now, but eternally. But we won't. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ is our salvation. Jesus Christ came to this world, lived and died and rose again so that you and I can have eternal forgiveness that will never perish and never change. Next time you doubt that, follow your Savior to the cross, where that ransom note of salvation and forgiveness and redemption was paid and written in blood. Go to that empty tomb and see Jesus testify and declare and proclaim once and for all that he really and truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the master and the defeater of death itself. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, that truth can always be relied on and will never change. As Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You don't ever have to fear that your God will change. His will and desire for you to be in heaven, to be with him forevermore, it's the same today as it was yesterday. His unconditional love for you and desire for you to know the grace that he freely offers is the same 30 years ago as it is tomorrow. The promises that he's made to you, that he's never lied about, that are most certainly always true and can always be relied on. Your life is a testimony to that, and so is mine. Just as true three generations ago as they will be 300 years from now. Jesus Christ is the only one that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The truth that you and I have come to know by God's grace. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a reminder for all of us tonight. You know the truth. You know him by faith. But there are many people in this world that don't know him. There are many people in this world that you know of and you converse with on a weekly basis, whether it be in the office, around your house, in your neighborhood, whether it be the grocery store, at the gas station, whether it might be going for a walk or a hike. God is going to plant you in conversations like he had with Pilate that day, with people that don't know the truth and are dying to hear it and are dying to know him. And you and I have the opportunity to share that with them. So many of my people ask me or say to me, Pastor, I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to tell them. Give them Jesus. It's not all that difficult. The little children can share that with them. They know they are Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart they are, and they will always be. If they can share that message with others, so can you and I. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel is not this complex equation. It is so simple, yet so beautiful. You and I, apart from Christ, have no hope whatsoever. You and I, apart from Christ, would be eternally lost. But that will never be, because we know Jesus. He has come. He's lived the life that you and I could not. He has died the death that you and I deserved. And because of that, heaven is our home. That's what we get to share with people. That's what we get to testify on a daily basis. Those verses that I introduced our sermon tonight, you know those verses. And you know who spoke those verses. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus himself said those words. Do you know when he said those words? And do you know to whom he said those words? He said those to his disciples right before he's about to leave them. Right before he's about to be arrested, right before he's about to die, right before he's going to rise, and right before he's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father and leave them as the pastors of the New Testament church. And you know how that went. They were stoned, they were beaten, they were mocked, they were humiliated, they were martyred for the faith. Jesus knew what was ahead of them, and he had to share with them the truths of those words. But right before that, he shared with them these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know the truth, you know where he is, and you know what he's doing. He is acting as the interceder on behalf of your sins. Every time you and I fail, Every time you and I fall short of that glory, every time that we succumb to sin, there's Jesus, the Son of God, seated right next to the Father. And every time that sin goes before the Father, there is the Son to intercede on our behalf and to point him to the holes in his hand, and the hole in his side, and the holes in his feet, and to say to our God, I paid for that. I paid for that. I paid for that too. Those are forgiven. Those are covered by my innocent blood, paid for in full, freely and fully forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, by God's grace and grace alone, the Holy Spirit has led you to know the truth. What is truth? Better yet, who is truth? Jesus Christ. Always has been and always will be. Amen. We will continue by confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed printed for you on the bottom of page 10. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius